All right, praise the Lord. And thank God for this opportunity to share the Word of God, which is our life. Now, if I were to give this a title, I would call it "The Word Became Flesh." And this phrase is taken from John chapter 1, verse 14. And it reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word becomes flesh. The Word becomes something that people can see. Because as Christians, we are in danger of using the Bible. The Bible is made up of so many words. I think it's about 100 and something thousand words all up together. Now, we are in a danger of these just being words. But here, the Bible says that the Word became flesh. So at some point in our lives, the words that we are reading, the words that we meditate must become flesh, must become something that people can see. Now, the Bible says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it." Why does the Bible say this? It means that for many of us Christians, the Bible warns us that we should be concerned that the Bible could just be words. And all of the promises, we don't actually experience it. Nobody sees it. The Bible says that we are a holy nation. We are peculiar people. We are God's priesthood to show forth his praises. People are supposed to see the Word of God manifest. At some point, Jesus was just a word. But the Bible says it became flesh. Jesus became flesh. People could actually see Jesus. And that is a precedence for us. The word that we read must become flesh so that people can see. And we ought to be concerned that if the word that we are reading is not becoming flesh, then we ought to seek God about it. Because I think of it this way. I have been a Christian for how many years? And what do I have to show for all my years of being a Christian? We call God our Heavenly Father, our healer, our protector, mighty miracle. He owns the earth. Now, if your earthly father were to be all these things, what kind of life would you live? If it were your earthly father being all these things. But because it's God, we see God like from a distance. Yes, we know him as our father, but then it doesn't become real to us. And that is the danger that so many Christians can make the Word of God to become just words. And one thing is that Jesus could not succeed with only words. And we are not going to succeed with only words. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He's telling them words, and they don't believe him. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, reading from verse 27 to 30, and I'm just going to pick just a phrase from there. He said, "Though ye believe not me, believe the works." Brothers and sisters, if you are preaching to somebody and you are stuck, the person doesn't believe you, do you have any other thing to pull on? Do you have any works of the word that has become flesh that you can say, okay, since you don't believe my words, now I have something else I can show? Jesus had that problem, and we are going to have that problem. When Jesus had the problem, people didn't believe his words. What did he do? He said, "Look at my works." And if we encounter that problem, what are we going to do if all we have is words? And so this makes it very important that we get to the point where if the word is not becoming flesh, if people are not seeing the words that we are reading, it ought, like the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 1, "Let us fear, lest we should seem come short. Bible wrote it, so it means there is a potential to come short of the word of God becoming flesh. Jesus used works as a means of drawing people to him. We talk about evangelism so much, going out and preaching the gospel. And the same way God sent Jesus, and Jesus could not succeed with using only words. Jesus had to have miracles. So many verses in the Bible talk about when they saw the miracles, they believed in him. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe in me. Jesus spoke this when he was going to raise up Lazarus. He told the disciples, I'm glad I was not there because I want you to believe me. Jesus had to have the word become flesh for people to believe him. And brothers and sisters, it's time we begin to think that words are not going to be enough for us to draw people into the church. Words are not going to be enough. We have to have results. The world is result driven. And it's going to come a time that our words are not going to be enough. So as a body of Christ, as a church, we need to seek God for the word of God to become flesh. People need to see, our neighbors need to see this word becoming flesh. And the word became flesh and they beheld him. Words are things. Words are things. If you look around you, whatever you see, whatever your eyes can see, a word produced that. I look at it this way. Before I became a Christian, I had a life that was real. I was an unbeliever, I was in sin, and everything the Bible describes if I expose, are you still hearing me? Are you still hearing me?
Well, personally, you're cutting in and out, but I don't know if that's the same.
Have you got more than one thing on in your house, Precious?
My husband is using his laptop downstairs, so.
I don't know if that's interfering, but anyway, I can hear you now.
Okay. All right, let's continue. So, like I was saying, that the word needs to become flesh. So what are the ways that we can make the word become flesh in our lives? The Bible talks about fasting and prayer. And this is where many of us have a problem. Because if you think that food is not powerful, you haven't tried fasting. I tell you, you want to fast and you look at that piece of bacon and that bacon is drawing you. And that sometimes you have to speak to that bacon. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to fast today. Brothers and sisters, food is powerful. We talk about fasting and people fast the internet, people fast TV. But brothers and sisters, try fasting food. It's hard. The Bible says Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, the Word of God. Listen, we are talking about the Word of God. Jesus, the Word himself, could not succeed without fasting. And the Bible says when ye fast, not if ye fast. And so We talk about healing the sick, raising the dead, converting people. Brothers and sisters, if you can't have control over a piece of sausage, if you cannot have control over a piece of bacon, how are you going to raise the dead? If you can't have control over a piece of scrambled egg, how are you going to raise the dead? The Bible says, if you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. And I find fasting is one of the things that I committed to doing fasting once in a week. But I tell you, I always decide to fast on the days that I cook a very nice breakfast, and I tell myself, okay, I'm not going to fast today, I'm going to fast tomorrow. And I find that food is having control over me. And I have to get to a point in my life where I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I will fast today. It doesn't matter what I have prepared this morning. And brothers and sisters, there are just some problems that you are not going to get through without fasting. Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 21, this kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. So if the word is going to become flesh, there are just some kinds of problems that will not go away until you fast. So if you're wanting the word to become flesh, you will have to think of fasting as one of the Christian activities you engage to make the word become flesh. One of the ways also is by, we speak about that a lot, meditating on the word of God, that we cannot underestimate, underestimate the power of meditating on the word. How the word, the Bible is lengthy, is a lot of words. How do I know the areas I should begin to meditate on? Personally, what I do, I look at how I respond to situations, and then I decide, oh, whoops, I did not respond properly here, and this is an area I need to begin to meditate upon the word of God. For example, one day I'm walking on a street, it's quite late, and I saw a man coming with a hoodie, and I was afraid. And my first thought was, oh, there is no policeman around. And then I caught myself. I said, what? I didn't think of God first. I thought of a policeman. And immediately I realized that that is an area of my life that I needed to meditate more of. I couldn't be thinking of a policeman first before I thought about God. And I found that that was a gap in my life. And I needed to meditate more on God's protection, on God protecting me. And so you go into the Bible, and when we talk about meditating on the word, what do you mean? What does it mean? We visualize this word. For example, in this period of COVID-19, we've been meditating a lot on Psalms 91. And one of those verses says, 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand side, but it shall not come nigh me. How do you take that kind of scripture and make it real to you? 1,000 and 10,000, that is 11,000. When I was meditating on this scripture, I went online to see what a crowd of 11,000 would look like. And it's a large crowd. And so how I meditated on this was that I imagined 11,000 around me, and me in the middle, and everybody is dying around me like flies, and I'm the last person standing. That's exactly what it means. And somebody's going to tell me, but what about all the other people dying? I don't know about all the other people dying. I'm just focused on what the Bible has said. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand side, but nothing shall come nigh me. If other people want that kind of protection, then they are going to meditate on that word of God. Another scripture I found that many times we don't make this real to us. We say God is our Father. And the way the Holy Spirit helped this to be real to me was that one day I was at work, and we are doing the safety briefing to take over the shift. And a colleague of mine, she was standing and she just went down slowly and she slumped on the floor. And we picked her up and we sat her on the chair, and she said, oh, I'm fine. It's because I have diabetes. Maybe my blood sugar is low. And a thought came to my mind, oh, thank God. Thank God I don't have diabetes in my family. And immediately, I know it's the Holy Spirit that spoke to me. I always say that, because some of these thoughts that come to me, I tell myself, I am not able to come up with these things. Immediately I thought, oh, thank God I don't have diabetes in my family. The Holy Spirit told me, which family are you talking about? And I realized that I was talking about my earthly family, but the Holy Spirit is teaching me that you should be focused on your spiritual family. It's a real family. God is a real father. And I started confessing, God is my real father, because I want this to be real to me. I want God to be just as real as my earthly father. Yes, Jesus's brothers and the mother, they come to him. They come to him where he's preaching, and people come to Jesus. Your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? These people, these my disciples, these are my blood brother. Brothers and sisters, the word will be to you how you take it. If Jesus is just a distant person in words, that is how Jesus is going to be to you. But for me, Jesus is my blood brother. I take it that way. And it also talks about Jesus being our brother in Hebrew. He says, and he was not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus was not ashamed to call us brethren. If Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren, even with all my failures, even with all my thoughts, he knows what I'm thinking, and the Bible says he's not ashamed. For it to say he's not ashamed means that there are things in me that ought to make him ashamed, but he's not ashamed. Oh, I find comfort in that. I find comfort in the fact that Jesus sees me as his brother. Well, it doesn't talk about sister, but so all of us, we are brothers. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. And we just talked about also the Holy Communion. How do you make these words real to you? We've just had the Holy Communion and the Bible. I thank Pastor Tony. He always takes time every Sunday to tell us the benefits of the Holy Communion, how it heals us. But brothers and sisters, do you know that Pastor Tony can do this every Sunday for 50 years? And I do not see the benefit of this. Why? Because it has not become real to you. I was just reading about the Holy Communion, and I just caught the word. It says, and Jesus says, this is my blood. And I've learned to be very watchful about what Jesus says. Jesus does not say, this is like my blood. Jesus holds a cup of wine and says, this is my blood. Brothers and sisters, if that thing is water and Jesus says, this is my blood, I am going to take it as is Jesus' blood, because that is what he says. When you drink that wine, do you imagine that that is the blood of Jesus going through you? Do you imagine that that blood of Jesus is going through whatever area of problem you have? You have diabetes. I imagine that blood of Jesus attacking the diabetes, attacking the hypertension. You imagine that flesh of Jesus absorbing all of those problems. Do you imagine that? Because brothers and sisters, trust me, you could take the Holy Communion for 100 years and it does absolutely nothing for you. This word must become flesh. Paul told the Corinthians, this is why you are sick. This is why you are dying. You are not discerning. You are not discerning the body of Christ. And I've heard different interpretations about that. And one of them is that this is not real to you. This is not real to you. So when we are taking the communion, I always tell my children when we take the communion at home and they are joking, I tell them it's not a snack and they'll always laugh about it. I said, this is not a snack. Jesus says, this is the blood of Jesus. This is the body. So take this seriously. Take it thinking about all the issues you might want to bring to God and God solving all of those problems. Additionally, we should find opportunities to let the word become flesh in our lives. Many times we have problems And like I spoke about being afraid on the road and thinking about the police, many times we have problems and we do not use the word of God to solve that problem. We should find every opportunity to walk by faith. The Bible talks about Jesus is our healer. And we know that very well. Jesus is our healer. But when you have a headache, what do you first think about? You first think about popping a pill. And this might be an opportunity. This could be an opportunity for you to walk by faith. We should find little opportunities to go the route of faith. Now, people talk about, oh, I can just take a pill. But what about the day, God forbid, the doctor tells you that you have cancer and you have 6 months to live and there is nothing they can. You have not been trusting God for a headache. You haven't been trusting God for a fever. And you think that when the doctor tells you you have cancer, you are going to whoop up this faith that has atrophied. You haven't used your faith in any small measure. And you think that when the doctor tells you you are dying in 6 months, you are going to whoop up this faith that you have never used before. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's almost impossible. If you have not done something at a lesser level, you will not be able to do it. And God is merciful. It's possible that the mercy of God could heal that kind of a person. But the point is that you have to learn to walk by faith. We have to use little opportunities. Are you in need? Do you need money? Ask God to provide and wait for Him to provide. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 verse 4 that God works mightily on the behalf of those who wait for Him, who wait. Many times as Christians, we throw a prayer out there and then we go out and solve the problem. And God sits back and watches us. He does not do anything because we have solved the problem. But what about you pray and wait for God to solve the problem? And now, it doesn't mean that you go out and throw away your medication just because you have heard this. Now, how do you make this word become flesh? Let's say you have a problem like diabetes or hypertension that you are taking tablets for. Is it possible that you can get scriptures? Anytime you are taking your diabetes tablet, I'm just giving an example. Anytime you are taking the tablet, as you take it, you add the word of God. Take maybe five scriptures and you speak it. Every time you take the tablet, you speak, you confess the scripture. Even if it's three times a day. Brothers and sisters, if you can be faithful to take the tablet that the doctor gave you, you can as much give the word of God some time like that and also take the word of God. Brothers and sisters, do that for 6 months. Who knows whether at the end of 6 months, God tells you, take it only once a day now. And you keep on doing it. And at the end of another 6 months, God tells you, God speaks to you and says, stop taking those tablets now. You are completely healed. Brothers and sisters, it is never God's will for anybody to take tablets for the rest of their lives. We can't have a God who comes out boldly and says, I am the God that heals you, and then He can't do anything about it. Brothers and sisters, I tell you that if your husband or your wife were to tell you, I am the one that heals you, I am, and you knew he was powerful enough to heal you, would your husband or your wife heal you? If he wasted time in healing you, you will nag him every day. You will disturb him or her, whatever, because you know he's your husband. You know he's your wife. He loves you. And if he was not healing you, you would make sure you nag him every day until he does it. But ours, we don't nag God, but we use the word of God. And it must come to pass. If you believe it, it must come to pass. Look at If you did that, what would happen? Let's say you did that and you got healed. God tells you, you are healed. Stop taking those tablets. You are healed now. What testimony would that be to your neighbor that you have been preaching to for years? You were using only words and now you have works to show for it. So the next time your neighbor comes and you tell them, the neighbor knows you were having that problem, and you tell them, I'm healed. So the neighbor that you have not been able to win with words, now you have works to show for it. Now, I'm going to give a testimony here. I felt like God was telling me to go and pray for one mad woman that was on in, well, while I was in Jamaica. There was a mad woman by this city center. And I felt like God wanted me to go and pray for that woman, but I was so afraid. This is the middle of the town. This place is busy. Kingston is the capital of Jamaica. And I was so nervous. I couldn't do it. And I was so convinced, sort of, that God wanted me to lead this woman. And I was so afraid I couldn't do it. The next time I went to my local shop, I saw the woman by the side of my supermarket, and my mind told me, this is God making it easier for you. And one day I left my house, I drove down to the supermarket to go and pray for this woman. But when I got there, I froze. I couldn't do it. I was so nervous. I circled around the supermarket. I went inside. I came out. I just could not do it. And the more, when I think about it now, I'm saying, Lord, I failed. I couldn't do it. I was not bold enough to do it. When I think about it, if I was bold enough to pray for that woman, who knows how many of her family members could have given their lives to Christ? Who knows what revival could have broken out in that supermarket? Who knows what could have happened? Who knows whether that would have been the birth of a ministry that God might have for me? Who knows what could have happened? But I was not bold enough to do it. And this is the reason we must make the word to become flesh. All your neighbors, all your colleagues that you've been talking to, and words were not enough. We need the word becoming flesh so that people can behold and see this God that we have been talking about. There is a principle in the Bible that if you have something and you don't use it, God will take it away from you. The Bible says that we've all been given a measure of faith. And remember the parable of the master that gave 10 talents to this and gave some talents to this. And when he came back, the one with 10 talents had multiplied, but the one with one said, I went and hid it because I was a wicked person. And the Bible says that unto him that had shall more be given, but unto him that had not, even what he has will be taken away from him. Maybe not necessarily God taken away from you, but if you don't use the faith that you have, more will not be given. And that is why we are not seeing more of God working in our lives, because even the little that God gave us, the measure that God gave, we are not using it. Faith is like a muscle, and it grows as you use it. If you don't use that muscle, it's going to atrophy. It's not going to work the day that you need it. Brothers and sisters, let's find small ways, little ways to go the route of faith. Let's find little ways to use our faith so that it begins to grow. That is why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So the trying of your faith, it says the trying. When people hear that verse, they think about, oh, I'm going to die. I might die if I try this. But the Bible says the trying, not the overcoming. It says the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its full work so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means you are going to survive to be perfect and wanting nothing. All that is going to happen is that your faith needs to be tried, whether it is real or not. Brothers and sisters, what are we going to show for all the years of our Christianity? What do we have to show for it? If Jesus could not use words alone, we cannot use words alone. We will have to have works to go with it. Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, the kingdom of God is not in word, it is in power. Paul tells them, when I come, I don't want to hear words. I want power. I want you to show me something. Because these persons were being proud. And Paul challenges them, when I come, the kingdom of God is not in word. The kingdom of God is in power. Brothers and sisters, let's rise up. What legacy of faith am I going to leave for my children? Abraham left a legacy of faith for Isaac, Isaac for Jacob. What legacy of faith am I going to leave for my children? We can't have such an awesome life and have nothing to show for it. We can't have a God that heals. We can't have a God that owns the universe. The thousand, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. We can't have such a rich God and we can't meet our needs. The prosperity gospel has been talked about so much, and the pastors have used that to swindle people out of their money. But I am a firm believer that God wants us to prosper. You don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Anything, you should make up your mind that anything that Jesus died for, anything that the blood of Jesus fell for, I will not let it to go wasted on my account. The Bible talks about that there is wealth and riches in the house of the righteous. Are you a righteous person? The Bible says there is wealth and riches in your house. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 that Jesus became poor so that through his poverty we may become rich. Now, the Bible talks about Job. He says his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 days. And I'm thinking, God tells me, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. This is a word in the Bible, right? And God tells me, meditate on every word. If I meditate on this word, what is going to come out of it? It's just like God laying a table. He has everything in it. He tells me, read this word. He has healing. He has riches. He has everything. And then when I reach out to take it, he tells me, no, it's not for you. A good father does not do that. If I don't want my children to have something, I hide it. I don't display it. I don't display it for them to see it. But God displays riches in the Bible. He displays healing. He displays prosperity. He displays glory and honor. And when I reach out to take it, he tells me, no, that's not a lovely father. Our God is a loving father, and he wants us to have whatever the word says that we can have. So brothers and sisters, let's rise up. Let's make this word come flesh so that people may see it and glorify our Father in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord.